Hey guys, Jesus is risen, and that changes everything. Today I want to talk about some beautiful things, some good things, some the things in this world that God's given us that are just incredible and amazing. And partly because we are swimming in a world where we are bombarded by bad news, like all the time. I mean, news used to be, you heard about it through the community, and then eventually it was the newspaper. Maybe it's once a day, and then now it's news all the time, instantaneous, and you could look up anything at any time, and so we just really don't. I think it's we almost have to swim upstream to escape the negativity and all of the awful, horrendous things that are going on in the world. And I get it. And I'm not saying that we all need to be naive, or we all need to be just not hear about all the bad news. But man, I would just imagine that most of us, I think that most of us could do with some good news. I think most of us could use some things to really move us to get out and to create and to enjoy that which God has given us. And as followers of Jesus, like, we should be the most celebratory people on this planet because of the resurrection, because Jesus conquered the grave and he is alive and he is reigning and his kingdom has come and it's here and it's advancing and we get to partake in it. And so I want to talk about a little bit about eschatology, a little bit about the amazing, beautiful gifts that God's given us. I want to talk a little bit about just the resurrection and some things that my family has been, at least we've tried this year, and how to celebrate, and I hope it'd be encouraging to you guys. So I first off want to read from a book that is very, very good. It is by N.T. Wright, who wrote a book on the resurrection called Surprised by Hope. And this is almost like a mini version of a bigger book. I believe it's called The Resurrection of the Son of God or something like that. And that one's probably like a good 700, 800 pages. I have not read it yet, but if you guys want take the shortcut and but really be encouraged and blessed, this book is phenomenal. And so go pick it up. Get it. Surprised by Hope, N.T. Wright. And I'm just going to read a few sections from it to whet your appetite. And then I want to talk a little bit about just the implications and things that how it's affected me and how it's and just the things that it's opened up in my life and our families. And so I will start off with some quotes in the book. He says, but Easter week itself ought not to be a time when all the clergy sigh with relief and go on holiday. It ought to be an 8-day festival with champagne served after morning prayer or even before, with lots of alleluias and extra hymns and spectacular anthems. Is it any wonder people find it hard to believe in the resurrection of Jesus if we don't throw our hats in the air? Is it any wonder we find it hard to live the resurrection if we don't do it exuberantly in our liturgies? Is it any wonder the world doesn't take much notice if Easter is celebrated as simply the one-day happy ending tacked on to 40 days of fasting and gloom? And then he goes on to say, but we should be taking steps to celebrate Easter in creative new ways, in art, literature, children's games, poetry, music, dance, festivals, bells, special concerts, anything that comes to mind. This is our greatest festival. Take Christmas away, and in biblical terms, you lose two chapters at the front of Matthew and Luke, nothing else. Take Easter away, and you don't have a New Testament. You don't have a Christianity. As Paul says, you are still in your sins. And then he goes on to say, in particular, if Lent is a time to give things up, Easter ought to be a time to take things up. Champagne for breakfast again? Well, of course. Christian holiness was never meant to be merely negative. And then if I'm gonna back up a little bit, this is a just a longer section, but I think this is excellent. He says, this brings us back to 1 Corinthians 15:58 once more. What you do in the Lord is not in vain. You are not oiling the wheels of a machine that's about to roll over a cliff. You are not restoring a great painting that's shortly going to be thrown on the fire. You are not planting roses in a garden that's about to be dug up for a building site. You are, strange though it may seem, almost as hard to believe as the resurrection itself, accomplishing something that will become in due course part of God's new world. Every act of love, gratitude, and kindness, every work of art or music, inspired by the love of God, delight in the beauty of his creation, every minute spent teaching a severely handicapped child to read or to walk, every act of care and nurture, of comfort and support for one's fellow human beings, and for that matter, one's fellow non-human creatures, and of course, every prayer, all spirit-led teaching, every deed that spreads the gospel, builds up the church, embraces and embodies holiness rather than corruption, and makes the name of Jesus honored in the world. All of this will find its way through the resurrecting power of God into the new creation that God will one day make. That is the logic of the mission of God. God's recreation of his wonderful world, which began with the resurrection of Jesus and continues mysteriously as God's people live in the risen Christ and in the power of his Spirit, means that what we do in Christ and by the Spirit is in the present is not wasted. It will last all the way into God's new world. In fact, it will be enhanced there. And then he says, I have no idea what precisely this will mean in practice. And so I actually think that's something for all of you listening, including myself, something that we should be thinking about of what does this look like in practice for my own life and our own families. And I'm just going to share a few more quotes. And then so he talks about that people are designed, it isn't too strong a word, to be a sign and a foretaste of what God wants for to do for the entire cosmos. They are to be part of the means by which God makes this happen in both the present and the future. And then he says, the work of salvation in its full sense is about whole human beings, not merely souls, about the present, not simply the future, and about what God does through us, not merely what God does in and for us. And then he goes on to talk about God's kingdom. And when you think about the Lord's Prayer, I mean, what are the some of the first things that Jesus, how he taught us to pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Like, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're praying that God's kingdom would come. We're praying that his kingdom would advance, that his will would be done here on earth as it's being done in heaven. It's not just, we're not just waiting for just an unearthly, non-human, non-physical place to be in. We're wanting God's kingdom, his reign, to continue through this world, and we're wanting to be a people that represent that and that celebrate that, and to usher in more of his kingdom as it advances. And so as you go through even just the Psalms and throughout Scripture, we just see so many beautiful passages about Christ's claim over the nations, and that every tongue and tribe and knee shall bow and worship before him, about how the families of the earth shall come and worship before him, and that the Father is going to give the Son, the nations as his inheritance, and that he will put his enemies as a footstool for his feet. And so with that in mind, I think oftentimes within the church, and a lot of times the way maybe many of us has kind of have grown up, is we've kind of separated ourselves from just the physicality of the world. We've kind of focused so much on the spiritual, and we really don't see the benefit or see just the glory and the beauty of like God made human beings physical, and then God himself in the form of Jesus like became man, and when he resurrected, like he had a new body, and we aren't just waiting for a time where we're just going to be disembodied spirits floating in heaven. We are waiting for Jesus to come back to judge the living and the dead, and that we are awaiting the final resurrection, where those who know him will get new bodies, and that will not wear out or decay or perish and will not die. And since Jesus has risen from the dead, he's bringing in a new age. You know, the first thing that we see Jesus doing was, I think, after the out of the tomb, was he was in the garden. It almost seems like from the text that he was almost, it looks like he's restoring creation to what it should be. You look at the Garden of Eden, and like God gave Adam work to do, to be fruitful, to have dominion, to cause things to thrive and grow, to be beautiful, and like we get to do that as followers of Jesus, and we get to help. I like the term Edenize the world. We want to make this world more beautiful, more glorious, as I think Hosea, you know, Hosea and Isaiah talk about, that the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what we want. Even David, one of the last prayers in the last psalm he wrote was like, "Let your glory be over all the earth." That was his last prayer. And as we think about, you know, what does this all look like, and what does that mean now? Well, so for example, I just want to give you guys a little insight into our family. You know, after reading N.T. Wright, I was like, man, we need to do something different for Easter, for just the Resurrection Day. And how do we not just celebrate a one day, just on one day? Like, how do we keep the celebration going? We want to show the world that like the resurrection happened, and we actually have something to celebrate. Now, did we do it perfectly or in a way that was ideal for what I wanted? No, but that's okay. And I think you know, we're just taking baby steps, and this isn't like a don't take this as like a legalistic binding on yourself, but this is just something that our family is trying out, and we're, you know, every family is gonna be a little bit different. For example, you know, just so the we kind of budgeted a little bit and just have a little extra money to say, hey, we want to have a celebration, fun, and have some really good food, be able to read lots of stories, be able to just have fun with our kids, to play, to dance, to sing. Anyway, and I'll give you guys just a little bit of a snapshot of what that looked like. But so we had after Easter, we spent some time with my wife's family, which was great, and really good food. And then as the week came on, Annie and I kind of planned in advance of like, okay, this is what we, you know, we have three children. What do you want to do? What's reasonable? So we're not just overwhelmed and stressed by, you know, trying to do all these things. And so, we just came up of an idea of, I can actually just, let me pull it up here. We wanted to do, so like get some really good steak. We wanted to have some really good coffee. We wanted to have some wine. And we wanted to read books to our children. We wanted to maybe watch a movie or two, you know, play music, and then had some breakfast ideas. And so we had, you know, donuts, mimosas, bread, coffee, sausages. We wanted to light candles. We were gonna, you know, sing the doxology. You know, before supper, we wanted to go on, you know, a walk together as a family. Lunch, we would sing For the Beauty of the Earth. Dessert, we'd have, coffee and tea, and then kind of a daily thing, maybe we'd have some time to just dance as a family. And then we would, sing and read. And so really these are actually some of the things where we've already incorporated into our rhythms and our in our family's daily life. And so it wasn't like super out there. Wasn't like super hard to do. It was just we wanted to be a little bit more intentional in some of the things and just maybe spend some more money on some really good food and drink and to celebrate as a family. And so it didn't it, yeah, like I said, it didn't go as maybe as we planned, but I mean that's a lot of just life. But at the same time it was a lovely way that we could celebrate. And the week I had was actually fairly busy and I was on the road a lot and didn't have as much time with my family as maybe I wanted, but that's okay. And we were still able to find those pockets and say, hey, we're gonna, we started reading the Children's Pilgrim's Progress. We read a little bit of Narnia. We, I think we watched a movie. But yeah, like we celebrated with some excellent steak and some, we made fries for the first time, which were so crispy and delicious. Ended up making some bread and, what else? Yeah. And anyway, those are just a few ideas of things that give you guys some ideas if you wanted to celebrate more with your family. I even took up the viola as something new, not as just a, I mean, hopefully it's not just a short temporary thing, but and I'll maybe have another podcast I want to talk more about why I did all of a sudden started an instrument at 34 and what am, what are my plans with that? But it's been so fun. And so those are just a few things and we'll maybe adapt it next year and see where our family's at and see, what we liked or what we could maybe do differently. But man, like we have so much to celebrate and so much to rejoice in and to be grateful for. And like I said during the earlier part of this podcast, I like there is just so much negativity out there. And I mean, even the a lot of the podcasts that I listen to, man, excellent podcasts, but sometimes it's like, oh, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, and look at all these awful things happening in society. And sometimes I just feel like we're just trying to put out fires when actually Doug Wilson said once where like instead of putting out fires, like we should be the ones starting a fire. And I think he meant that in the way that like we should be out the we should be the ones rather than just trying to like prevent all this these bad things from happening. It's like let's just go out and create. Let's go out and make beautiful things. Let's advance his kingdom. Let's like instead of just being on the defense, like let's be on the offense and like let's actually do something. And I just love that. I think even just like the whole part of even the term conservative is like we what does that mean? Like are we trying to conserve something which eventually might just die? And then what if that's all we're doing is just trying to preserve, 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 and we're never really getting anywhere, never building anything, like what's the point? And so I mean part of the progressive left, I mean it's like they have a better view of the future than I think sometimes we do as followers of Jesus. It's like well, they want our kids and they want to claim the future and they have a vision and a mission of what they're doing. And it's like rather than us trying to fight back and I'm not saying yeah there's a place to fight, but I'm just saying rather than just trying to be on the defense all the time, like what can we do as followers of Jesus to be on the offense and like take that which God's given us and just go bring beauty and life and joy into the world. Be the city on a hill. Show the world that we have something to celebrate. Like we actually have so much to celebrate. And so I just made a list of just things that I think we as followers of Jesus, and there's so many more that we can do to engage with, to celebrate, to enjoy. And if anything, it's just a reminder even to myself of like, man, look at all of these like I think it was in Romans that Jesus like or it says like for he who did not spare his own son but give him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Like God's given us his best Jesus, and like how much more like is he just gonna give us everything else? And like what an amazing time that we get to live in right now. And I understand like this isn't every society or culture or people across the world, and we obviously have to do with what like the place that God's put us in. But you know, like Paul, and I'm not saying I don't do this well, but I mean, like Paul says, like rejoice always. And again, I will say rejoice. So like whether that is like whatever situation you're in, you know, even the trials that we go through, like what does Paul say? Like count it all joy, my brothers, whenever you encounter, you know, trials of various kinds. And so, I mean, that's a challenge to myself because, man, we don't like to rejoice in the trials and the hardships of life. It is not the easy thing to do. And so, anyway, and I will, what I do, what I'll do is I'll leave it here. And then I will, let's have a part two, and I want to talk more about specifics of just the things that God's given us that we can enjoy and embrace, and I think ways that we as followers of Jesus can really use to advance God's kingdom and to show like we have an amazing, beautiful God that we get to worship and enjoy. And I'll leave you guys there, and then I'll plan on having another episode where talk more about the smaller, finer details. So thanks for listening. If you guys have questions about this or like implications or maybe disagree with something, feel free to email me at ben@bennash.co. Love to hear from you. So thank you.